Okay, let's begin. Yud Tes Amabez, the Mishnah. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we have the schus to be able to finish the first of the 24 Prakim of Shabbos. So, Be'ez Hashem, let's do it. Masnisan, Yud Tes Amabez. Ein Solon Basar Basal Ubeitza Ela Kadeshi Yetzulumi Be'od Yom. As we've been talking about these past couple of Mishnayos, we have been discussing what one is allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, what one has to be finished with an Erev Shabbos, with the discussion of Shvisas Kalim, Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That was on Yud Zayin Amabez, and we had what halachos are you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos because they're nireh, that your ananju is working for you, the Amira issues. Those were all Machloksim. But now we have a Mishnah where everybody agrees that you're not allowed to roast basar, beitza, meat, or onions, or eggs, they have to be roasted before Shabbos. Why is this? This is the chashash that we spoke about on Friday, and that is chashash shema yechate. Something that we're going to discuss, Be'ez Hashem, in depth, more in the third parak. But just to mention what we have to know about it here, and that is if something is not full, a certain amount ready by the time Shabbos starts, then we're worried that I'm going to have my mind on it, and therefore I'm going to be worried that it's not going to get done, or I'm going to want it done quicker, so therefore I'm going to stoke the coals in order to make it get done faster, and that is why even Beis Hillel agrees to these halachas in this Mishnah, because there's a chashash of Shemi Yechate. This has nothing to do with Shvisas Kalim, it just has to do with the fact that I'm worried that I'm going to stoke the coals, and therefore you have to have it done a certain amount before Shabbos. Okay, the Mishnah doesn't talk about anything about covering the fire or doing anything else to prevent you, but at least Be'ikar Adin, you have to have it done, Kadesh Yetzulu Bibodyo, it has to be roasted from Friday. How much does that mean? We'll see in a minute. A nostin, number one. Number two. A nostin paspal tanarim chashecha, velo charara al gabe chalim, ela kadesh yikru mi panem bibodyom. Similar halacha. You can't put bread into an oven, right before it gets dark. Remember how they used to add on Daf Gimel. How did they used to make breads? They used to stick them to the walls of the oven or on the ceiling of the oven. And it has to be partially done before Shabbos. Or if you put a charara al gabi gachalim, that's another type of baked good on top of coals. Ela kadei sheyikrumu paneh mibodyom. It has to, the paneha, the face of it, has to be browned and somewhat done before Shabbos. And only if he reaches this stage of readiness do we say that you're not worried about Shem Yechat. You're not worried that he's going to stoke the coals. Rabbi Elazar omer kadei sheyikrum hatachton shava. Not the paneha, not the face of it, but the tachton, the bottom of it. So is he more machmer or more mekel? So we'll see. We'll see in the Gemara. It's going to be a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. It's unclear in the Mishnah. He just says, the Tanakhama says, the face of it has to get done, and the Rabbi Elazar says, the bottom of it has to get done. So we'll see what exactly that means. Next, u'mishalshalin es ha-pesach betanur im chashecha. Let's say Erev Pesach fell out on Erev Shabbos. And we know Erev Pesach is called Pesach in the Torah, right? Pesach, what we call Pesach in the Torah, it's called Chag HaMatzos. If you look at those 7 days. In the Torah, Erev Pesach is called Pesach Lashem, because that's the day that you bring the carbon Pesach. It's the only time that you bring a carbon of a Yantif before Yantif. But that's called Pesach Lashem, and that itself has certain halachas of Yantif, right? We learned before Pesach that that's a reason, according to most Rishonim, that there's an Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach, because that's the day that all Klai Yisrael bring a carbon. Whenever you bring a carbon, that's a Yantif delay. That's a Yantif for you. So that's why Erev Pesach is Pesach Lashem. There's even a discussion in some of the Achronim, let's say Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Do you say Vihi Noam the Motzi Shabbos before? Vihi Noam always goes by the Isser Malacha during the week. So is Erev Pesach enough of an Isser Malacha in order to stop this, prevent Vihi Noam? Okay, that's a discussion in the Achronim. But says the Mishnah, that let's say you are putting your carbon getting your carbon Pesach ready on Erev Shabbos, says the Mishnah, you don't have these normal chashashos of Shema Yechate, you might come to stoke the coals, you're allowed to put it in, Mishashos is a Pesach, you're allowed to put the Pesach into your oven, im chashecha, right before chashecha. What do you mean the oven? You have to roast it. So in the old Rashi explains here that you're not talking about putting it into water. The way they used to roast it is not just on a spit over fire, but they used to put it on a spit or something like that into the oven and roasted it that way, into the im chashecha, right before it gets dark. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that right before Shabbos. You don't have these earlier chashashas of Shem Yechate. Why? It's important Rashi, third Rashi on the Mishnah. Mishal shalom esa pesach, v'hu nitzla v'holich mishatechshach. And even though it gets dark, it gets ready as it gets dark. And you have to eat it before chatzos. But that's it's shechted bein arba'im in the afternoon, and then it's roasted a little later. And then you eat it. Even though we just said you can't do it, it has to be ready before Shabbos. Hachashari, why? To b'nei chabura zrizenhein umidkri ahadadi. You're doing the Karban Pesach. You're involved in a mitzvah. There are a bunch of people involved in the mitzvah. Says Rashi, this b'nei chabura is such a holy chabura, they're going to remind each other, you're not going to come to stoke the coals. And therefore, it's not a problem. Mashma from Rashi, though, and this is the Sha'ar Mitzvah and Balacha points out, that it says their b'nei chabura is reason, but they're going to remind each other. What if you're only one person? What if you eat a lot, so you have your own Karban Pesach? It's a small animal, it's a big guy, you're going to eat a lot. So it's mashma from Rashi that could be a problem. Now, the only issue is not that you're going to remember, but because it's a chabura doing a Karban Pesach, mitkriya dodi, they're going to remind each other. So therefore, as long as you have more than one person, maybe more than two people, I don't know how much a chabura has to be, but as long as it's a couple of people, that's when it's not going to be a problem. So that's why you don't have to be worried about shashos of Shemi Yechata on Erev Pesach, which is Erev Shabbos.
Pesach is Friday night, Friday night.
Yeah. What part of the carbon? The shechita was done before Yantif. It was done before Yantif. And here it says, doesn't have to be ready at all before Yantif. Doesn't have to be ready before Yantif. Uma'achizin, last line, Uma'achizin es arbit meduras beis hamokad. You're allowed to light the fire in the medura, in the fire of the beis hamokad. Beis Hamokad, we had a little bit in Brachos, but we had it more in Mesechas Tamid, Amidos. Beis Hamokad was a place where there were four different offices on the corners of the Beis Hamokad, an area in the Beis Hamikdash. What it's talking about here is that the floor of the Beis Hamikdash was very cold. Right? It was made out of marble, it was made out of a hard stone, cold stone, and the Kohanim have to walk around barefoot. They're not allowed to wear shoes, not allowed to wear sandals, not even allowed to wear socks. Rashi here explains that based on a Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Chav Dalet, that we have a limud that if you have something between the feet of the Kohen and the floor, that's a chatzitza. Just like there's chatzitzas in other areas of halacha. Just like a Kohen can't wear gloves when he's doing the avodah, a Kohen has to have his feet on the floor when he's doing the avodah. He's wearing shoes, the avodah is pasul. So you can't be any chatzitza. So let's say it's a cold, there's no roof in certain areas, so it's cold and it's wet, and he's walking around on the with bare feet, and he's freezing, right? So how do we prevent? How do we help the Kohen? So they used to light a certain fire in the Beis Hamikdash, and either different ishitas, either they went there close to there to warm themselves in order not to get so cold, or that fire itself warmed the whole floor of the warmth of it spread and warmed the whole floor of the Beis Hamikdash. Either way, that's what the Mishnah says, that right before Shabbos, machiz v'sar, right before Shabbos, you can light this fire. And you're not worried about the fire not being lit enough in order for you not to be worried about Shabbi Yechata. We'll get to the reason for that in the Gemara. Now we don't have to do Rashi. Well, Rashi says, because the first big Gemara. Ubikvulin, top of the next Talmud. What about outside the Beis HaMikdash? When you light a fire outside of the Beis HaMikdash, how much does it have to be lit before Shabbos in order for you not to be worried about Shabbi Yechata? Right, nowadays we don't do this so much, but let's say, in the olden days, more they're lighting fires to keep warm, they're lighting fires to do something on Shabbos, so you're going to make sure the fire's lit before Shabbos. So how much does it have to be lit before Shabbos in order that we're not worried that you're going to stoke the coals? Kadesh Tochas or Berubo. The Commissioner says, as long as the fire is lit in most of it. What does most of it mean? That the Gemara will explain as well. What is most of, you light a fire, if I would say, most of it has to be lit. What does most of it mean? So that's, we'll see different possibilities. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bepechamin kol shehu. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it comes to coals, not wood, but coals that you're lighting, that you light a little bit and it stays warm and it doesn't go out, kol shehu, that it doesn't have nothing to do with rove, with majority, but it has to be, lit a little bit, then that's enough. Okay, so this is the Mishnah, cases of what you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, and how much has to be done by Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, V'kama, and some of what we're going to discuss over the next couple of minutes, we discussed a little bit over the past two Shabbos Shirim, but a little chazar doesn't hurt. V'kama, how much does it have, the first halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that it has to be roasted, the meat, or the onions, or the egg has to be roasted on Erev Shabbos a certain amount. It says it has to be nitzel, it has to be roasted. And if it's that amount, so then you don't have to be worried that you're going to stoke the coals, because it's already basically ready somewhat before Shabbos. So v'kama, how much does it have to be ready? Amar Lazar Amar Rav, Kadesh Yitzolomi Be'od Yom, Kama'achol Ben Drusai. It has to be ready enough, kemacho ben drusai, enough that it reached the edibility of ben drusai. Rashi here explains again, ben drusai was listim haya, he was a bandit, he was a robber that used to eat on the run, and therefore, his level of edibility, his food was ready much earlier. His food was ready, according to Rashi, umavasho bishulo shlish. His food was ready, he ate it when it was a third ready. So therefore, that's considered the minimum level of edibility, and therefore on Shabbos, or here, before Shabbos, that is how much it has to be ready to be the lowest level of edibility. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Once it reaches Machal Ben Drusai before Shabbos, then I am no longer worried that I'm going to stoke the coals, because it's ready, now it's getting more ready. But because it's edible, so that's why I'm not worried about Shemi Yechata. That is Shitas Rashi, that it's Mevashel Bishulo Shlish. The Rambam, if you remember, in Perek Tes, says that the halach is Chatzi Bishul. Not a third done, but the Rambam and the Raiva there, both say that it's a half, half the amount that it is usually fully cooked, that's Machal Ben Drusai. How do you figure this out? How do you figure out a half or a third? So we noted the Shita of the Chazon Ish, which is the Shita of the more of the minority, most argue on the Chazon Ish. The Shita of the Chazon Ish is that you figure it out with time. If something usually takes 3 hours to cook, so then Machal Ben Drusai is either 1 hour according to Rashi and an hour and a half according to the Rambam. Because you split or you half or you third the time, that's how you figure it out. Most Achronim, the Shevet Alevi and others though, have difficulty with this in that, what do you mean with time? Sometimes things get cooked faster in the first part of the time or faster in the second part of the time. Like if you have a really hard piece of meat, it could be that it takes a long time to thaw the first third, and then the second third it does much more of its cooking. So most Achronim say, no, you just measure the third and the half by edibility. Mamish, is it edible yet? Is it half edible yet? Is it a third edible yet? Compared to its full level. Okay, so that is the issue of Machal Ben Drusai. We noted that this is the level of Bishul D'Oraisa. That's not the context. This is a different halacha. Bishul D'Oraisa, what's called a significant change on Shabbos with heat. So that's going before Machal Ben Drusai to after Machal Ben Drusai. That's Bishul D'Oraisa on Shabbos. Our Mishnah is using this for a different halacha. How much has to be cooked before Shabbos in order for it to be called edible so that we're not worried about Shemi Yechata? So that is this halacha of Machal Ben Drusai. Okay, again, there's a lot more. Is there Bishul D'Oraisa after Machal Ben Drusai? So, Bezer Shem, we'll discuss that later in the Misachta. Itmar Nami. The Gemara now is going to bring two other examples where you see Machal Ben Drusai is significant. Again, we just said it's significant for leaving it on the fire before Shabbos. Two other halachas. Itmar Nami. Amar Ravasi, Amar Biochanan. Kol Shu Kamachal Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Bishum Bishule Nachrim. We know there's a whole Issa D'Rabbana and a whole Siman in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Yud Gimel. Again, the first part of Yoredei HaChelek Beis in the Shulchan Aruch has many, we don't usually learn that Chelek, but there's so many Halacha L'maisa Simanim there. Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, Yayin Akum, and a lot of the rest of the, means, obviously, later on is Hilchos Nida, but Pas Akum and Bishul Akum, anything that was cooked by a non-Jew is Asur Midrabanan for me to partake in. Asur Midrabanan, and that halacha is in full force. Pas Akum might not be in full force. Tosas already says that there are certain heterim that allow us to eat entomins and celadoros and all the others. But Pas Akum is a halacha. We have to know there are many kulas. There are many, not leniencies, but just built-in kulas that Chazal said, if this is done, then there's no halacha of Bishul Akum. A non-Jew is allowed to cook this for me. If it could be eaten raw, there's no halacha of Bishul Akum. If it's not a chashev food, if it's not what's called olal shulchan malachim, right? So then it's not the zohalacha of Bishul Akum. And we've talked about it, and we'll talk about it another time. But here it says, anything that's cooked to Machal Ben Drusai, there's no Bishul Akum. What does that mean? If a Jew does the first part of the cooking, the Jew makes it Machal Ben Drusai, so then a non-Jew could take that, he could put on the fire, he could put it on, and that's it. And it's mutter. There's no halacha Bishul Akum. Because it's already considered cooked. That's halacha Machal Ben Drusai. So this is very halacha l'maisa, this line. For example, many pre-cooked frozen items that we buy. I don't know, fish sticks, pizza bagels, any of these things, you take it out, if you would take it out of the freezer and just let it sit on your counter. So it's not raw, right? Once it's soft, so it's not hot, it's not going to be good to eat a cold pizza bagel, but it's not raw. Those are pre-cooked. That's at least Machal Ben Drusai. So a Naju could take that and make it for my child. Why? Because it's Machal Ben Drusai already. And Lechad Chilo, once it's Machal Ben Drusai, there's no problem. Ein bo mishum mishule nachrim. There is no problem. So this is the halacha. What? Even if it's Frozen, yeah, because it's, so what, it's frozen, it's still in the same state. It doesn't matter. Frozen is just reheating. So it's no different. Now, microwave, what about microwave? That itself, we mentioned, is a machlokas. Rabbi Sheflin and Rabbi Willig are both mako by microwaves, because the Ramaz Lashon is al ha'ish, and they don't consider microwaves al ha'ish, or Rabbi Forrest and others are more machro when it comes to microwaves. That's why when the Vads of the Farakwe and the Five Towns merged, they took on that chumrah, because certain Rabbanim on the Vad wanted that chumrah, certain didn't, so to have shalom, they achieved that higher chumrah, and that's when they stopped making eggs in Dunkin' Donuts. Because the Dunkin' Donuts, they used to make it in the microwave. So that's why they stopped having these eggs on a bagel in a microwave, because they were machro that for that new shita of Bishul Akum by microwaves. Okay, anyway, that's behind the scenes. Yeah. If we wouldn't have
bandits,
right? If we wouldn't have bandits, bandits help us out. Bandits help us out, right? You're trying to prevent them now, right? But that's okay. There is an interesting halacha. Does it work the other way? Does it work the other way? What does the other way mean? What happens if a non-Jew cooked something? We know. Let me preface this. We know there's a halacha. We always say, oh, if the Jew does something, so then it's not going to be a problem. If the Jew turns on the fire, that's enough for Ashkenazim at least. Or if a Jew, you know, comes and stirs it. We spoke about magus, right? If I do anything in the process, it's not going to be a problem with Bishul Akum. If I put on the pilot light, it's not a problem. What happens if a non-Jew cooks it Kamacho Ben Drusoy? And I come home from work, and I come home, and I'm like, oh, she put it on the fire. So usually if I know, gotten Shiloh's, oh, my non-Jew put up the chicken. I said, how much is it ready yet? Right, so how much has to be ready? What if a non-Jew made a kamacho ben drusoy, and a Jew comes home and tries to save the day and stirs it and turns it over on the fire, does something? So does that help? Our Gemara says that if a Jew cooks a kamacho ben drusoy, it's enough, and the non-Jew can't ruin it afterwards. But what about the other way? That's not in the Gemara. If a Jew cooks a kamacho ben drusoy, that's machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah in Yarudeya in Kuf Yud Gimel. This siman says the Shulchan Aruch in Bishlu Ovid Kochadim kamacho ben drusoy v'gomro Yisrael says the Shulchan Aruch Yesh Lasar. Shulchan Aruch is machmer. Machaber says you can't do it. El Emkenu, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantif, Hefsin Meruba. That's the Shulchan Aruch Shita. The Ramah, the Yesh Matir and Bechol Inyan. The Ramah says Mutter. Mutter, that's why as long as it's not fully cooked, so let's say get a shiloh, you come home and the babysitter put in the something that she wasn't supposed to put in, the meatballs, and they were raw, and she put them into the oven, and it's a chash of food, and it was not in, all the ala problems. And you come in there, as long as it's not fully cooked, do something, take it out, put it back in, whatever it is, mutter, according to Ashkenazic custom, based on this Ramah. Even though, so again, we're machmer that it's mavushal, but we also get the heter of it's not mavushal kotzarcho, therefore I'm doing something in the process. That is an important shita of the Ramah. There's one more issue regarding this, and that is the shita of the Radvaz. This is a collector's item shita out there. One of these that we don't paskin like, but the Radvaz notes, because the Gemara here seems to link Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Bishul Akum, says the Radvaz, if you cook something on Shabbos that could be eaten raw, it's not an Issur D'oraisa. Just like we know that on Shabbos, that on Bishul Akum, Nechal Kamoshu Huchai, if it could be eaten raw, there's no Bishul Akum, because it's not considered a chashiv activity. So too on Shabbos, if it could be eaten raw, if I cook an apple on Shabbos, if I boil water on Shabbos, right, water, there's no Bishul Akum by water. Right, because you could drink it cold. So says the Radvaz, Linyan Shabbos, Malchus ain't a loke, Asr mid Rabbanan. So this is an amazing sheet. Says the Gilyoni Ashas, Rabbi Yosef Engel, Vitzvarov Plia Atsuma. He says, I can't believe he said it. He says, there are different standards. By Bishul on Shabbos, is this an act of Bishul? Is this an objective act of Bishul? Of course it's an act of Bishul. So what's the issue by Bishul Akum? Is this something that what's the ultimate reason of Bishul Akum? Chasnus, that we're worried that if a non-Jew cooks supper for me, I'm going to go to his house, and it's not an issue of trefus. We're not worried that there's something trefin here. We're worried about chasnus, that we're going to become friends, neighbors, so close, and Rahman al-Islam, something's going to happen in the next generation. So says the Gilyoni Ashas, by if you could be eaten raw, we say, so it's not cool that he did me a favor. I could eat this without his bishul. So we're not worried about chasnus in that case. But by Shabbos, this is a ma'aseh bishul. It's a full ma'aseh bishul. So therefore, says the Gilyoni Ashas and everybody else, that this Radvaz is a wonderful shita in Lamdus, but it's an amazing shita to accept Lamaisa, because it's totally different context in halacha. Okay, so that is just an issue of Bishul Akum, the second halacha of Machlo Ben Drusoy. Next, Tanya. There's a lot more to say on Amud Aleph here, so that's why we're going a little slowly on Amud Aleph. Tanya, Hananya Omer, Kol Shehu Kamachu Ben Jusai, Mutter LaHashoso Agabi Kiro Ba'afa Pish Ingruf of Ketuma. This is the third halacha, the famous sheet of Hananya. Why is it famous? We're going to get to the beginning of the third parak. It's going to become famous to everybody here. First 2.5 lot of Parakira is all about Hananya, and everything we do on Erev Shabbos, a lot of it has to do with Hananya. What is Hananya? Hananya holds, once something is Machu Ben Jusai, then it is mutter to leave it on an oven, on a fire, even if it's not gerufa v'ketuma. Even if it's not, garuf means literally the coals are shoveled out, ketuma covered with ashes. That's what we call a covered fire. Hananya holds that once something is Machu Ben Jusai, you could put it on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. That is the sheet of Hananya. There's a major, major machlokes, do we paskin like Hananya or not? Because if we paskin like Hananya, as long as we don't want to take things off the fire and put it back on, we're very machmir. Because think about our houses. We don't leave things on an open fire. We cover it, we put on a blech, we put on a hot play, we put on kdeir agabik deir. We do all these things. But as we will see, in most cases, we're either doing that A, because we're machmer, not like Hananya, even though many people paskin like Hananya, because Hananya says, once it's machu ben jusai, finished. You're not worried that you're going to stoke the coals. And therefore you can leave it on an open fire. Either we're machmer, like the chacham who argue on Hananya, or if you're going to want to ever take it off and return it, that's a separate issue. That's called hachazara. That's called returning something. You can never return something to an open fire on Shabbos. So those are two Isurei Derabanan, which is the first part of the third parak is all about that. Shehi and Hachzara. The third parak is Shehi and Hachzara and Muksa. Those are the two parts of the third parak of Shabbos. That's what Bezer Shem will get to, but remember the sheet of Hananya. Hananya says, once it's Machal Ben Jusai, that's it. He's Mekel, you don't need any type of covering. There is an important Rashi here, which we're going to get back to then. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Masvel Katum, it's like the fifth skinny line of Rashi. What does it mean, Katum, covered? Mefazrim Efer Milamala, you scatter ashes above the coals, Kedela Hafig Chomo, to weaken its heat, Shelo Yosef Hevel B'Shabbos. So it's not Mosef Hevel, it doesn't get hotter. Why does a covered flame work? Not only, says Rashi, because it's a hecker. You have a hecker that you're going to remember not to stoke the coals, but it itself decreases the heat of the fire. That's why it works. Says the Chazon Ish, our blechs are not called a covered fire. Why? Our blechs don't so much. If you put it on the fire, it doesn't decrease the heat. You put it directly on the fire, or tinfoil, say some achronim, very few achronim. How could that be a cover? That decreases the heat. That breaks, but metal conducts heat. That doesn't. Rashi says shelo yosho kedela hafik chomo. Roba the ruba the achronim, Rav Moshe the Mishnah Brura. Everybody says it's okay. Everybody says we paskin that a blech is considered a covered fire. But the Chazon Ish has a chumra based on this Rashi and others that. What do you mean? The whole point of a covered flame is to weaken the heat. But and so what do you mean? Next to the other part of the blech is less. No, the other part of the blech is without the blech would be nothing, right? But on top of the blech, it's still just it doesn't really in a significant way decrease the heat. So therefore, it should still be a problem. Katum means you put ashes on top of the fire and really weaken it. But what we call a blech, says the Chazon Ish, is a piece of metal. Metal conducts heat. It wouldn't be good enough to cover the flame. Again, generally, halacha l'maisa, the minhag is to be mekel, like rov of the achronim. Rav Moshe and many others are mekel, but the Mishnah Berurah. But just to know that sheet of the Chazon Ish, based on that Rashi. Nothing. That's gerufa. Gerufa means there's a question whether you took him all out or you took some of it out. We're going to get to that also in the third parak. That's the issue of most of Hevel, you're right, in the Gemara is used by Hatmana, which we're going to get to. But there is a discussion whether the Kula of Hananya applies to Hatmana. That's what Machlokas Rishonim. The Ritva here talks about it, Tudeus. But you're right, those words are used in the Gemara by Hatmana, but I don't think Rashi is referring specifically to Hatmana here. Yeah. We'll get to Hatmana in the future. In a chanami, like I just said, that is the primary reason about preventing the hecker about preventing you reminding you. But from this Rashi, it sounds like that also might be part of it. Part of the heter of ketuma is kedelo hafik chomo. Why does Rashi say that? To weaken its heat. So you're right. Rov of the achronim say it's still okay. But again, but that's.
It makes sense because if he's saying you have to consciously minimize the heat, then you can't consciously come back and raise it later.
Right, if you did something, right, it makes sense, right. I'm saying, but that's yeah. What do they do? So they do k'dera, gabek k'dera, they do, well, there are other heterim too. They do samuch maybe, not on top. But again, a regular blech, unless they pass, no, they could also pass on like Hananya. Hananya says once it's machu ben jusa, you don't even have to use a covered flame. Right, that's maker adin. We're going to see many, many rishonim hold that way. We might even hold that way. But Bnei Yisrael kadoshim heim, we're more machmir.
No, in all of that, when they used to make chomp in Europe,
yeah,
they would put the pot into the oven.
Right.
Right,
so fine. So they only took it out Shabbos morning. It was already Machu Ben Jusoy. It could be before Shabbos. And that'd be passing like Hananya, so they could just take it out. Right.
To that stage?
Yeah. Okay. If it, or if it's totally raw, in those days they had the heter. The locker of Henkin now. Okay, Enos Rezapas, Viter. So you can't put, the Mishnah said that you can't put the bread into the oven right before Shabbos unless it gets baked somewhat beforehand. So the Mishnah, remember, had two deos. The Tana Kama says that the face gets browned, and Rabbi Elazar says that the bottom gets browned. So yes, the Gemara, Ibailu, Tachton Heich, Tagabe Tanur, Odilma Tachton Heich, Tagabe Haor. We know that, let's say, the bread gets slapped onto the roof of the oven. Right? It's not like we have baking. So what does the bottom mean? Does the bottom mean the part facing the fire? Does the bottom mean the part facing the wall of the oven? And it says, the Rabbi Elazar says the bottom has to be browned. So what's the bottom? So Tashmar, Rabbi Elazar holds the tachton is the one that's facing the tanur. So therefore, that's the part that has to be browned, and the other part is called the paneha. That's the sheet of the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says it's the paneha facing the fire. Rabbi Elazar holds it's the brown part facing the oven. Which happens first? Which gets browned first? That's the machlokas Rashi Tosas. Rashi here says it's the midubakin batanur, the chumrahi. Right, Rashi says it's the part that's facing the oven happens later. So that's why you even have to have that before Shabbos. So Rabbi Elazar is being machmir. The second half of the top toast is kosi Yerushalmi, mashma de la hakel ba. It's Rabbi Elazar is being makel. That part gets done earlier, so therefore that's all you have to have. Okay. Umashal is a Pesach. You're allowed to stick the Pesach in on Erev Shabbos, we said. We're not worried. My time, mishum de menecha buras rizimheim. Why? So we use the same lashon that Rashi used before. We think right now that why? Because the Bnei Chabura, the Kohanim, this is the Menachos of Pesach, we're not up to the Kohanim yet, but this is the reason Rashi said before, because the Bnei Chabura are Zaris, they're going to remind each other. Halav achilo, but if you wouldn't have a group of people there, you would be worried? Bahamar Mar, but we learned a couple of blad ago, Gadia bein Sharak bein Lo Sharak Shapar Dami. If you have a little Gedi, which is the animal they used to use for the current Pesach, but if you have a little Gedi, bein Sharak bein Lo Sharak, whether the pot, the oven is sealed shut or not, Shapar Dami, it's okay, you're not worried that you're going to be Shemi Yechate, because you're talking about a Gedi, and the draft is bad for the Gedi, it's going to ruin it, so you're not going to come to open it. So you see, even by yourself, you're not going to be worried. You don't need the whole Chabura. So, is it just the chabura? Is it just you, or is it the whole chabura that you need? So the Gemara says it depends. Hasa mintach, chacha lo mintach. It depends if it's cut up or not. We know the current Pesach was not allowed to be cut up; it had to be roasted whole. So, when it's roasted whole, so then the draft isn't so bad for it. So that's why you need the whole chabura. You need the whole chabura to remind you that's mishalshel sa Pesach. But on a regular Shabbos, if you have your gedi cut up, so then the draft is going to affect it more, and that would be enough for us to say that we're not choshesh, that you're going to be Shemi Yechata. Fine. Next, Umachizin Asa'or. Next halach in the Mishnah was, you're allowed to light the fire in the base of Migdash, that the Kohanim's feet aren't freezing, and you could warm them up a little bit. Minohani Mili. How do you know this? Asks the Gemara. How do you know that you're allowed to light this fire on Erev Shabbos right before, and you're not worried? So, this is an issue, Durabanan. What do you mean, Minohani Mili? Minohani Mili is usually for Din Daraisa. So the Pnei Yeshua deals with that question here. So he said maybe this Minani Mili is really part of Rav Huna's statement, which we're about to get to. But either way, it's interesting. It's not a usual Minani Mili. Amar Rav Huna lo savar reish b'chol mosh vaseichem. The Pasuk says you can't light any fire on Shabbos in your places. B'chol mosh vaseichem miyetam aver. In all of your places to live, you can't light. Aval atam avir b'maduras beis hamokad. But you're allowed to light in the maduras beis hamokad. That's the halacha learned that from the Pasuk. So Maskevah Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, if that's true, what the Pasuk is this Pasuk is teaching me, you can't light a fire in your house, but you can light it in the base of Migdash. Yachafilu b'shavas nami. So the Pasuk says, you're allowed to light the fire in the Maduras b'shavas. So what are you telling me? You have, this Pasuk, this is the source that teaches me you can light it right before Shabbos. I mean, the Pasuk says you can light the fire, period. Can they even light it on Shabbos? I mean, it's based on this Pasuk. You can't say it's based on this Pasuk Rav Huna. The Pasuk is a Daraisa. We're talking about it in the world of the Rabbanans. So Ella Amar Rav Chizkiya. Rav Chizkiya says wrong. Kra kiyasa. The pasuk is not referring to lighting the fire in the Beis HaMikdash. It's referring to kiyasa l'mishri evar v'pedar muda asa. It's referring to lighting the fire to burn the fats and the limbs that have to be burned that night. That's the special heter that is given for lighting this fire. Aye, what about our Mishnah? You know what the reason is for our Mishnah? The Kohanim Zrizimim. The Kohanim are Zariz. That's why you can light the fire. Just like everybody by the Karban Pesach are Zrizim, and therefore they're going to remind each other. Kohanim in general are Zrizimim, and therefore we're not going to be gozer that, you know, that you're going to be worried that they're going to be Shemi Yechata. And therefore Kohanim Zrizimim, you can light the fire for their feet right before Shabbos, and you're not worried that they're going to be Shemi Yechata. Just one line in Rashi here. Again, this is related to the Sha'ar Mitzvah and Balacha that I mentioned earlier. Rashi says, what does it mean, Kohanim Zrizimim? Right across from where we are in the Gemara. Shakulam hayu b'nei Torah v'charedim v'nizkarim. V'lo asi l'chatu yemishatech shach. They're all Shomrei Torah Mitzvot. They're not going to forget. So the Sha'ar Mitzvah points out that this is a little different than the earlier Rashi. This Rashi seems to be saying that they themselves are going to remember. They're charedim v'nizkarim. That's how they're going to remind each other. Interesting diuk that it says that they're going to remember. So what's the nafka mean if they're by themselves? If they're by themselves. The other Rashi, the Bnei Chabur, they needed each other. Here, Rashi even by themselves, because it just says they're going to be nizkarim. They're not going to be asi lechetuye. Evarim upedarim. That could, that's a din daraisa. Just like you're allowed to shecht on, you're allowed to do the certain avodos on Shabbos. Sorry. It's also Kohanim, but that is a din. But we're talking about doing daraisas here, not just chashus drabanan. Din daraisas aren't going to be matir for Kohanim's reason, hey. But din drabanans. The interesting makar I saw here that there's a kesef mishnah in Hilchos Beis Abchira that talks about the topic of ein shvus b'mikdash. We know in many places the Gemara in Erevin talks about this. There's no isuri drabanans. Not a hard and fast rule, but there's no isuri drabanans in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein shvus b'mikdash. So why is that? So the Kesef Mishnah says, because Kohanim's reason aim. Kohanim's reason aim, and therefore Inshvus HaMikdash. Where does he get that from? Some say it's our Gemara, it's Mefurish our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? Kohanim's reason aim, and therefore you're not worried about lighting the fire right before Shabbos. Inshvus HaMikdash, right here. So this could be the makar for that idea of the Kesef Mishnah, that the idea of Inshvus HaMikdash is based on the concept of Kohanim's reason aim, but like our Gemara says, you're not worried about this Issa Drabanan in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a separate pasuk to teach a carbon tamid. Tosfos talks about this here. The other psukim, but to even matir devar mubdarim, you need this extra pasuk. By stama chabura, by other carbonos, there's a question whether it's other carbonos or just carbon pesach. I forgot where one of the rishonim discussed. They think huadin is by other carbonos as well, but for sure by carbon pesach, you know, everybody's ready. It's the day of the seder that night, so everybody's going to be into it. Yeah, it's part of the avoda. It's part of the avoda. You could even do it on Shabbos. Ubigvulin kadesh tochas. It says the Gemara in Gvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash, how much of the fire has to be lit? Rov, a majority of the fire. So my Reuben, what does a majority mean? Let's say you have 10 logs in your fireplace. So it has to be rov lit. So what does rov mean? So Amar Rav, rov kol echad ve'echad. Rav says the majority of each log. That's what rov is. Ushmuel Amar, no, don't look at rov like that. No, look at the whole thing. And Shmuel says, as long as it is self-sufficient, as long as you don't have to say, let's bring more wood to put it under to kindle, Shmuel says, whatever it takes for the fire to be self-sufficient, so that is good enough. So some achronim, I saw one of the achronim in the back, I don't remember who, says that, so what do you mean rov? Maybe a little bit is enough to be self-sufficient. Doesn't have to be rov. What do you mean rov of the Mishnah says rov? So he explains, I think it's Reb Lezer Meir Horowitz. He says, a contemporary of the Beis Halevi. So he says, maybe rov sometimes just means rabas. Rabas, many, doesn't mean most. It could be many, a bunch. And he quoted a passage from yesterday's parsha. Berabos Hashanim, right? You count the years of to Yovel, to Shemitah. But rov doesn't always have to mean majority, it can mean a lot. So that's how Shmuel interprets the Mishnah. So it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether rov means rov of each one, or rove, or a lot of the whole thing in order for it to be self-sufficient. Tana Reb Chiya l'siyuei l'Shmuel. Reb Chiya brought a brisa, brought a help to Shmuel from the following. Kadesh tehei shal heves ola me eleha, v'lo shetehei shal heves ola al yidei davar acher. What is this halacha talking about? So the 2 days in Rashi. The second day of Rashi says it's talking about our context. This context of this brisa is about how much has to be lit before Shabbos. So then it says Mefurish. It has to be lit so that the fire goes up by itself, and not that the fire needs something else to go up, which is exactly Shita Shmuel. The first day in Rashi, though, it's all otherwise. We know this phrase from Chanukah, from Parshas Tetzaveh, that the fire in the menorah, how much does the Kohen have to light the menorah in the base of Mikdash? Enough that is lit by itself, that you don't have to go and help it more. So that's the first day in Rashi, and so therefore that day is connecting the menorah in the base of Mikdash and how much it has to be lit on Erev Shabbos. So Rashi says, Maha Kesher. Right, we're in that time of year, right? So what Maha Kesher is? That's what Rashi Rashi rejects it. But Tosfos explains that day. Tosfos, the second to last Tosfos. Tosfos said, no, it must be that if the Torah is telling you you have to light the menorah, it must be that the Torah wants you to light it so that you're not going to have to relight it. So it does. It can work together. It's not a din of halacha and a din of how much before Shabbos. The whole point of this halacha is that you don't want to have to relight it because you're going to be worried about Shem Yechatem. So then that's what must be what the Torah wants. The Torah wants you to light it enough so that you don't have to relight it. So that's what the second to last Tosfos says. Doesn't quote Rashi, but that's that could explain it. Yeah.
When you're cooking, it's much more like if you're cooking in a fireplace, that there's a certain concept that the fire is lit and it's the last deep fit process. If you're using the fireplace for heat for the house, it's very subjective. You can have a little flame that'll last an hour, or if you have a mashal that you need the fireplace
okay.
to go all night.
In a chinami, but still, if you're worried it's going to go out, if you want to get a warmer in the house, I mean, still, you might want to make the fire bigger for different reasons.
That's what I'm saying. So you might.
You have the chashas of Shem Yechata whenever you have a fire, even separate from food. Vayder in the Gemara, Eitz Yechidi, what if you have one log? You don't have a bunch of logs. If you have one log, how much does that have to be lit before Shabbos for us to say we're not worried about Shem Yechata? So again, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Ruf of Yo, majority of the thickness of the log. Let's say you have a log that's a foot thick, so a thick of majority of it. Vamalab Rov Hakefo, Rove of the circumference, meaning a fire from the outside of the log, how much has to be burned through. Amra, Papa Hilka, therefore, because this is a machlokas, Binan Rov Avio Begin and Rov Hakefo. So we require both. Rov Avio and Rov Hakefo because it's a machlokas. Unclear exactly. So you figure, all right, how much do you know? It's going to get even harder to determine in a minute. Kitanoi, maybe this machlokas Rav and Shmuel is like a machlokas tanoim. Reb Chiya Amar Kadeshi Yishaches Ha'etz Mi Beleches Ha'uman. As much of the eitz that is destroyed on the inside when an uman is using a fire, when a craftsman is using a fire, how much of the fire, how long he needs it to be burning in order to be useful to him. And Rashi explains that means Rov Avyo, which is for burning from the inside. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Amar Kadeshi Tochas Eish Mishnei Tzadim. As long as a fire is lit from the two outside sides, which Rashi explains is Rov Hakefo, most of the circumference. Alex, you're right, it's unclear exactly how to know this. But it's just giving you the objective standard. It's interesting, just in the last two lines that we just had, first we brought a Tanoi, we brought a Machlokas Tanoim, and Reb Chiya was quoted as one of the Tanoim. Four lines up, Reb Chiya brought a Brisa of the Tanoim to prove Shmuel. So Reb Chiya was one of those on the border, like Rav. He was very early, like is he was after Shmuel, is he a Tan, is he a Mora sometimes? Right, in this Gemara, the Maritz Chayis here discusses, you know, the history of Reb Chiya. Even though there's no positive proof that this last opinion that it has to be burned the circumference of the log, there is a remez, a hint to it in a pasuk in Tanakh. It says in Yechezkel, a snake savos achla ha'esh, the two outsides corners the fire ate. V'tocho nachar ha'itzlachlam lacha. So you see the snake savos, the outside is burned, and it calls that achla ha'esh. And that v'tocho nachar, and that might be a reflection that the inside is burnt. Either way, that's a simin, a remez, to this halacha that when it's burned on the outside, on its circumference, that's called burnt. V'ha'ach l'fanav ma'eres, the Gemara now, Darsh is another pasuk referring to fire. The ach is burned. What's the ach? So my ach. So I'm a rav achvana. Rav says achvana. Achvana is a type of, Rashi says arava. It's a type of Aravis branch. That's what the pasuk is referring to by ach. Ushmol amar etzim shenitzvaku ba'achvana. Now ach means from the word achdus, from the word unity. When a bunch of twigs burn together, that's what the pasuk of ach is referring to. Ha'ud amelahu man boy achvana. Somebody once came to town and said, "Who wants achvana?" Reminds us of the medrash in Mitzora. Who wants life? Right? Things I had to say for Tehillim. Who wants achvana? Who wants achdus? Everybody says, "Oh, we want it." So ishtakach arbasa. So he took out some aravas, right? So that's meaning he was holding like the other opinion, and he wasn't interested in the achdus, but the aravas. Amar Rav Huna. Next line. Now other types of materials. How much has to be ready before Shabbos that we're not worried about Shem Yechata that you might come to stoke? So to the end of the parak, that's what we're gonna have. Kanim ain srichin rov. Kanim reads, you don't need rove. They don't have to be rove burned before Shabbos because they light very well from one to the other. Therefore, you don't need a majority. You just light it a little bit and that's fine. Ogdon, but if they're tied together, tzrich and rove. Then you need rove. Rashi explains here, if they're tied together, there's not enough space in between, really. They're too much stuck together. That's worse for the kindling one to the other. And therefore, if they're tied together in a bundle, you do need rove. Garinin. What about garinin? Rashi says it's the seeds of dates. So ain't tzrich and rove. Again, you don't need rove because these light very well one to the other. Nustan b'choslos, but if you put them all together in chosalos, these are Rashi explains that these are kalim that you put them all together. Tzrich and rove. So again, you would need rove because once they're all together, they light each other in a weaker way. Maslo Rav Chista Adra. Rav Chista argues just the opposite. Ifcha mistabra. The opposite makes sense. Kanim mevadron. Ogdon lo mevadron. Kanim reads they're generally separate from each other. These long sticks. So if they're not tied together, so then you should need rove. That's worse. Ogdon, when you put them together, lo mevadron, they're not separate, and that'll be better. If you tie them together, it's better for lighting, not worse. And same thing with garinin. Garinin mevadron nasna mevadron. When the seeds are separate, you have separate seeds. They're not going to light well together. Nasna b'choselos lo mevadron. So it's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda by these two items, whether when they're open or whether they're tied together, which is better for the lighting process. It's Marnami. We have a brisa. Amar Rav Kahana. We also learned Rav Kahana says, and this Rav Kahana is a middle shita. Kanim by the reeds. The first case sha'agdan srichen rov. When you tie the reeds together, that needs rove, because tying it together makes it worse. Lo agdan ain't srichen rove. But if they're loose, you don't need a rove because that's good. Loose reeds light better than tied reeds. Garinin, though, is the opposite. Garinin, srichen rove. Garinin, when they're loose, they need rove, but nasna b'chasalas ain't srichen rove. So he holds like one opinion and the other opinion. He splits between kanim and garinin. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Arba meduros ain't srichen rove. Four meduros, four fires don't need rove because you assume that they're lit, they light so well, you don't have to be worried that a certain amount is lit before Shabbos. Shel zefes, pitch, vishel gofer, sulfur, vishel gvina, cheese, the grua changes the girsa here to kira, which is wax, vishel revav, or grease, which is, if any of these things are poured onto the fire, beforehand, these are great kindling, if you pour some of that stuff, some of the oil, the lighting oil beforehand, you don't have to be worried, because all of this causes fires to become bigger, so if you do a little bit onto the wood, so then it's you don't have to be worried before Shabbos, and there's no chash of Shemi Yechati. You light it just a little bit before Shabbos. The Brisa says, also straw, or stubble, kasher gvava. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, eitzim shel bavel ein srichen rov. Right, the wood of Bavel, you don't need rove, because that lights very well. So, Masav Rav Yosef, Mahi, what is the wood of Bavel? What is that referring to? Ilema Silsi, if we're referring to Silsi, Rashi says, very, very thin pieces of wood, which are cut after you cut the major logs. So, Hashtab Sila Amar Ula Hamalak Sarkshilak Varov. If we already said that a wick has to be mostly lit before Shabbos, and wicks are light very well, Hayose Besilsi Mibai. So silsi, which it's more difficult to light, that you're going to say doesn't need rove. It's not better than wicks. So Elam Rav Yosef, no, you know what trees of Bavel mean? Shucha da arza, branches of an erez of a cedar tree. Rabbi Bar Abba Amar Zaza. It's referring to Rashi says mulsha balaz, it says moss in the Osir Laz. So either way, these are different items that might burn better, burn worse. If they burn better, they don't have to be burned for majority before Shabbos, because there's no worry about Shem Yechate. If they burn worse, then they have to be worried and about Shem Yechate, therefore you have to burn the majority before Shabbos.
In the Machlokes of Kahana, what do we pass on like, and why didn't they just go to a fire and put it? It's something that seems pretty
simple. Is it a Machlokes of Metzius? It's a good question. We never like to say there's a Machlokes of Metzius. Maybe we could think about it more, about maybe it's more of a machlokas of Shem Yechata, what's the standard. But it's weird, it's hard, because they're opposites. They're opposites. It's not just different levels of standards. So it's difficult. Maybe they were from different, we don't like to say they were from different places, the different kind of reads in the different places. But it's a good question. Whether it sounds like the Pashas is that it's machlokas and Metzias. Machlokas and Metzias. In any of the cases, are we worried that you're going to be diminish the flame? Right. Are we worried that you're going to make the flame lower? So that's a question. If you put the flame totally Right, it's an issue we're going to talk about. Lamaisa, if you put the flame on its highest, is there anywhere about Shem Yechate? So there's a diuk that one of the Akronim has in a Rashi. I ran out of time the other day. But on Yud Chesem Abeis. On Yud Chesem Abeis, there's a Rashi that says, Delo Ba'ichiti. So there's one of the Akronim there, a Madaik, that we're only worried that you're going to make it bigger, not smaller. But again, we'll talk about it at a future date. Whether you ever worried about Shem Yechate, not Shem Yechate. Okay, Hadron Lachin Tzias HaShabbos. Next parak, Bam and Malikin. Bam Malik in the parak that is said by Nusachashnas on Friday night. Bame Balikin, Bame Malikin. With what can you light and with what can't you light on Friday night? So, what do you mean light? We never said that there's a chiyuv to light. So, just to paraphrase the Gemara in Brachas Abayz Amad Aleph, Tana Ahecha Koi. The Shah starts out, when do you say Kriya Shema? What do you mean? Who says there's a Chiyuv to say Kriya Shema? First tell us there's a Chiyuv to say Kriya Shema, and then tell us when to say Kriya Shema. We get into it. What do you use to lie? Tell us what to lie with. Shrem was about Lacha Yassas. Why doesn't it say Chova Lahazalik? That's what it says first. And then tell us that what you can use to lie. So he gives two different interesting answers. Number one, he says, V'yesh Lomar, because there's a Rambam in the Pirshat Mishnayos in Menachos, which we've discussed a couple of years ago, on Chanukah. And that is, the Rambam says in Menachos, why aren't there Mishnayos that go through all the halachas of tefillin, and tzitzis, and what are the other examples? And mezuzah. I'm sorry? And Chanukah. Right, no Chanukah. We're going to get the Chanukah in the Gemara. So why aren't all these listed in the Mishnah? Why didn't Rabbi Yonasi write it? What was the Rambam? What did the Rambam say? They're so common, many things that were so common in those times, they didn't record. Everybody does it. So you read the details. That's the Rambam, the Pirshat Mishnayos and Menachos. So it says, the Shem Zayin Balacha, everybody likes Shabbos candles. So they're a Pashut. Everybody likes Shabbos candles. You can have the most unaffiliated Jew, they like candles. Then they go out to the disco, right? I mean, everybody likes Shabbos candles, right? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So so he says maybe that's why it's not listed, like that Rambam in the Pirshat Mishnayos. And number two, he says maybe because Halakas Neiros is not a mitzvah in itself, we're going to talk about this later in the parak, maybe it's part of the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, or covet Shabbos, or both. We'll talk about it. But either way, maybe because it's included in another aspect of Shabbos, you can't just say it's a chiyuv to light it, because that will give the misimpression. So says the Mishnah, what can you use to light and what can't you use to light? Ein Malikin, you can't light with the following substances, which the Gemara is going to talk about what they are. Lo v'lechesh, I looked in the English, it's just as hard as the Hebrew, so it doesn't pay to say it. Lo v'lechesh, v'lo v'chosen, v'lo v'kalach, v'lo v'psilas ha'idon, v'lo v'psilas ha'midbar. There's something from the Eidon, something from the desert, v'lobi rokosh alpneyamayim, some type of substance that floats in the water. All these are types of wicks. You can't use these for wicks on Shabbos. Rashi explains, because these wicks don't light well, and therefore we're worried that it's not going to be lit well on Erev Shabbos, and you're going to come to fix it on Shabbos. So you have to use a wick that's going to light well for Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos. Below, and now the Mishnah switches. You can't use these for fuel, for oil, to light your proper wick. Below v'zeves, pitch, below v'shava, wax. Can't use wax. Whoa. V'lo v'shem and kick. V'lo v'shem and sreifa. You can't use oil that has to be burned. The Gemara is going to talk about all these things. V'lo v'alya, fats from Mateo. V'lo v'chelev, or chelev, non-kosher fat. Nachem amadi omer malikin v'chelev mavusha. You could use chelev mavusha once it's cooked. V'chelev omer, no, echad mavusha v'echad shen mavusha ein malikin. But you can't use it. What are these substances? Lechesh shucha da'arza. Lechesh is the branch of the arza, which we just had at the end of the previous parak. Shucha da'arza, eitz ba'amahu. That's a piece of wood. That's not a wick. You can't use that for a wick. So the Gemara says, no, bi'imra nisa de'isba. Inside the bark of the tree is a certain type of woolly substance. So that's what we're talking about, was used for a wick. V'lo b'chosen, what's chosen? Amar of Yosef, na'ores shal pishtan. Strands of flax. So you see, chosen isn't na'ores. It's two different things in the pasuk. El amar abaya kitzna de daik velo nafitz. It's a type of flax that was daik, that was pressed, that was beaten, but velo nafitz, that wasn't combed. Menafitz is one of the avos malachas. Velo bekelach. Amar Shmuel shaltinu lechonuchus ayama. I asked everybody, and they tell me, what is this? V'amri kulcha shmei. It's kulcha. Oh, that helped him out. Rav Yitzchak bar Zira Amar Gushkara. It's Gushkara. What's Gushkara? So Rashi explains it's another type of meshi, some type of silk. Ha'asui kekovim, another type of silk that you can't use. Ravin v'Abaya have Yasui kamed Rabban and Nechem Yachu the Reish Galusa. Ravin and Abaya were sitting in front of this man. Chazia the Havilavish Metachsa. They saw he was wearing Metachsa, this clothing that was made of this material. Amalei Ravin Labaya, Hainu Klach Tetznan. Somebody who sees life through halachic eyes. You see somebody's jacket and you say, hey, that's that material that we can't use on Erev Shabbos. Right? Amar lei, anan, shira pardon a karinon lei. No, that's not it. That's shira, that's a different type of material. We call it shira da pardona. So meisvei hashirayim v'klach v'sirikon chayavin betzitzes. So he asks, what do you mean? But if you look in a brisa, we just said klach is shirayim, but in the brisa it's listed as two different materials, shirayim and klach. Those are the materials that are chayiv and tzitzis. Rashi here explains, does that mean daraisa? Does that mean darabanan? Either way, there's a question, which materials are chayiv and tzitzis daraisa? The Shulchan Aruch says only wool. That's why some people are machbit to wear wool and tzitzis. The Rama says others as well. There are others, I think Rabbi Yaakov, I think just read in Rabbi Yaakov biography, he was machbit at least on Shabbos to always wear wool and tzitzis, because that's the chayiv daraisa, according to the Mechaber. So what do you do? It's listed as two different materials. How could you say one is the other? Tiyufta, either tiyufta, ibaisema, shira lachud v'shira pardana lachud, parnada lachud. So therefore, maybe shira and shira parnada is two different materials. What's that? Achvina, right? Which we had on the previous daf. That means the willows. Ravin Vabai Havikaz Liva Paksa de Tamru Risa. They were walking in the valley of Tamru Risa. Chazinu Lahanu Arvasa. They saw these willows. Amalei Ravin Labaya. Hainu Ida Ditzvan. Again, we get the Musar from the fact that they're walking in the street and they're thinking about halacha. Those willows are what we're referring to in the Mishnah. Amalei Hahi Eitva Amahu. No, those willows are just wood. They're not, what do you mean? There's nothing you can use for wicks? So Robin says, Kalaf, he peeled it. He showed him the wool in between the bark and the inside, so you saw that you could use it for wicks. Midbar, Shivra, another material. Not this type of Yeroka, type of green that grows in the water. Maihi, what is that? If it's this darkened, blackened substance that floats in the water, Rashi explains where the water is somewhat shallow in the swamps, like seaweed of some kind. If ruche mifrachen, that falls apart. You can't use that for wicks. El amar papa uchmasa ta'arva. It must be the seaweed that goes next to the boats. When a boat is in port and you get all this stuff, this gook, on the bottom next to the ship in the water, that's what we're talking about. That's yiroka sh'alpanei amayim. Tana, hosif olein shal samar v'shal seyar. The Mishnah, the Brisa adds on two more materials that you can't use for wicks. Samar, wool, and seyar, hair. But tana didan, samar michvitz kavit, seyar echruchei michrich. Our Mishnah does not mention it because those two, there's no chash that you're going to be machate. Because right when you burn them, they disappear. They're not there anymore. You burn hair, it's not there anymore. There's nothing to stoke. So that's why it's not listed in our Mishnah. Below is zeves, and you can't use pitch or tar. What is zeves? Zivsa. Shava kirusa is wax. Tana adkan psul psilos mikan ve'elach psul shmanim. Up until here, the Gemara is just explaining. The first half of the Mishnah was about wicks that you can't use. The second half of the Mishnah is about oils and material and substances that you can't use for fuel. So Gemara says pshita. Of course, the first things are wicks, and the second half are oil and zephes and shava. Of course we know that. So Gemara says, no, shava it's srichalei. The chiddush is the shava, the wax. Mao de temo lepsilos nami lo kachazyeh, kamash malon. You might have thought that shava, if I wouldn't have said this, you might have thought that wax can't even be used in the wicks, to cover the wicks. Kamash malon, you're allowed to use the wax in the wicks, which we'll get to in a minute, which will be very important. Amar Rabbi Bar Avin, itrana psulta de zivsa. Itran is the psoles of pitch, shava psulta dovsha. Wax is the psolus of honey. Lamai nafkamina lebekachu memkar. What difference does it make that we know what these materials are? For mekachu memkar, if you tell somebody that you're going to sell them shava, this is what it is, you should know what it is. So it comes out from our Gemara. What does our Gemara say on the bottom? Wax you can't use for fuel, but you can use for wicks. So what about our wax candles? What's going on there? Right, that's the fuel. So you look at Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Chach, the Bnei Narvona, the bottom Tosfos, that they aser a Ner Shava. They aser using wax candles on Shabbos because of this Gemara. So what does the Olam do? So the Ran here and Rove of the Rishonim here say that first of all, when you have wax that's surrounding the wick, maybe that's different than the case that the Gemara is talking about. We're talking about wax on the bottom with a wick coming out of it. Our wax candles have wax around the wick, so it's like part of the wick. The Gemara says that's okay. That's A. B.
Our wax.
Oh, so B, and the Radvaz has a tshuva about this, where he says, our wax is much different. Our wax is clear, it burns well, it gives a beautiful light. So therefore, says the Radvaz, in those days, they had a problem. Bizman hazeh, bekiyin bemelachto, maskikin osa atshosin levana, benimshechas yafe achar apsila, kasher anaroim. But then he ends off, which we don't pass like the Radvaz says, but once it's usher, it's usher. That's what the Radvaz answers. He says, "V'kivish enasra ein lana lachalik bein osan shalona eskuna losha sheniskana." That's what the Radvaz answers. We pass it like the Shulchan Aruch though. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Samach Dalid, where he talks about what you're allowed to use for for wicks. Karach, Zephis, Oshava, Ochelav, Sviv, Hapsila, Madlikin, Bahem. Like our Gemara. If you put the wax around the wick, which is our wax candles, so then that is mutter, and it's beautiful to use that on Arab shops. Again, Lamaisa, anything that gives a nice light, like these, so they have these, now these hardened things that become liquid after you light it, the paraffin, or any of these materials, anything is going to be mutter and a mitzvah as long as it lights well and the zoch shash of Shem Yechata. Okay, today's shiur was Lezeicha Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Sion Ben Yaakov. Be'ez Hashem, we continue tomorrow. Tomorrow we start in Yoni Chanukah. In Yoni Chanukah, tomorrow. Okay. Amen.